The shir is called the Shaivivim shir. And the truth is, the word Shaivivim come from a pasuk, Shuvu Banim Shaivivim, return, my sons, wild ones. And Al Pi Kabbalah, perhaps for the past 600-700 years, it is Al Pi Kabbalah, the Parshiyos of Shmois Va'era Boi B'Shalach Yisrael Mishpatim, which are the Rashi Tevis of Shaivivim, are, and in an Ibiyar, it's called Shaivivim Tat, Truma Tetzava, is included. Al Pi Kabbalah, these are Yomim that are times where one can find tshuva. It's appropriate times for tshuva on Oisei Hachet, on Averis that have to do with Shmiras Einayim, Averis that have to do, it's a time of Shmiras Habris. It's a time where we can be misakin for things that person perhaps has been plaguing in the Shmiras Habris. In fact, there are tefillos that are specifically tefillos for this time. In fact, in Yerushalayim, I was once privileged to be there on Erev Shabbos, during Shaivivim Tat, are Yomim that are Erev Shabbos specifically, the Tainesim, Erev Shabbos until Chatzais, the special tefillos. If you go to Zichron Moshe Shul in Yerushalayim on Erev Shabbos during Shaivivim, you'll see Yerushalayim Yid Mamish crying and being misfouled at this time, and it's an appropriate time to talk about the inyanim of Ein Ish L'Ishtai and the halakas that are nageya, where perhaps someone, a person over the year and over the years could have forgotten some halakas. Sometimes a person never learnt it properly. Many times the Hilchos Nida are learnt in a cursory fashion before the chasana. A person doesn't really understand the halakas, he doesn't really absorb the halakas properly. And it's a time for a refresher course in these halachas. The truth is that we are standing between the parashiyos of Yisrael and Mishpatim. It's a bit late for a shaivivim, but it's never too late. And we'll start, like Yorach HaShulchan takes out of Taisvus and Dafyud in Brachas, that if you start a tefillah before the Zman tefillah is up, so then the tefillah Yimamshut, the tefillah Vaita, it's still considered that you finished it in the Zman Tfilah. So over here we're starting in the middle of Shavuot, and hopefully we'll go on the next couple of weeks. I'd like to split up the shiurim as we've done in the past. I'd like to speak today about the haschalah of what renders a woman nida, and the process of the tahira process of the zayin nikiyim, and getting to the leil hamikvah. Next week I'd like to discuss the halachas of the harchakos, how one is to the practice between Ish L'Ishtai during the time of Nida. And then we discuss, hopefully, the halachas of Vestais in 2 weeks, and the halachas of Chafifa in preparation for the mikvah. We also, Mitzvah Shem, are planning after Pesach to, for logistical reasons it wasn't possible, but after Pesach to have a similar type of shir for the Noshim. And I also would appreciate if I could get the input of the people that are here, not right now of course, but as to when a good time for that would be for the women. We want to make it as friendly as possible to be able to reach as many people as possible. You know, there's a famous vart that's said over from Reb Shimon Shkop, from Reb Chaim. The story goes one way or the other. There's a vart that Reb Chaim said that Kiddushin is something that's not chal in one time. You saw it in the halachas of Kiddushin. But when a person makes a Kiddushin 10 years ago, 20 years ago, that Kiddushin is continuously being chal throughout his marriage. Azayat Reb Chaim Gizot. And Rav Shimon Shkop, this vart mamish made reverberations around all of Europe. And Rav Shimon Shkop met Rav Chaim, so he saw him, he went over to him and he said, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. Now, that means it was being chalas. Somebody once told me if you have to explain a joke, it really is not worth it. But Lamaisa, there is a hashkafa involved in this too, in that marriage is not something we get married and then we just go on and live our lives. Marriage is something that has to be constantly being chal, has to constantly being refreshed, renewed, worked on. And the truth is, in a very real way, the halachas of nida are not restrictive halachas, although they do restrict. But the truth is, they give us the opportunity to work on our marriage, and they give us the opportunity to refresh on a monthly basis the ahava between Bein Ish L'Ishtay, and to get in touch with our spouse, where, you know, it gets very, very busy and very, we get very busy with the things that we have to take, the mundane realities of our lives, and we don't take pause to focus on each other. And that's something that's the hashkafa and the halachas of nida that we have to understand. We also have to understand that when one of the brachas of the Sheva brachas, Sameach Tesamach Reyim O Ahuvim, Kisamecha Yisircha Began Eden Mikedem. So we know that sometimes in marriage we have to be Ahuvim, where we express in full form the Ahava Bein Ish L'Ishtay. And sometimes we have to be Reyim, friends. And that's in the time when the Isha is in Ida. So it's very much in the Hashkafa of the marriage that we talk about these halachas. The first thing that we have on the sheets, and by the way, these sheets are actually, I printed them up, I think, 2 years ago, and I want to give a shkach to Shalom Lasker for keeping them and sending them to me. Hopefully by the next year I'll have them a little more updated. But I think it helps to go along in this Seder. The first Roman numeral, nidus dairaisa or suffik dairaisa, no shear requirement. This is the word no shear requirement is something that I have to stress, and I'm going to be stressing throughout. What this means is the following: A, with a hargosha, which hargosha means a feeling, but what that really is defined as is an awareness that blood is coming from the uterus. Okay, with an awareness of that, and with a flow, a woman becomes a nida, no matter how much blood she sees. Okay, the Gemara says roiv dam is bahargosha, and roiv hargosha produces dam. If a woman is aware, and we'll see what that awareness means in a moment, that blood is flowing, if she has a hargosha, or what would be a suffix is if she possibly could have felt the hargosha, but she was involved in an activity that masks that hargosha, that doesn't allow her to feel that hargosha, the halacha is she is a nida d'iraisa. And when she's a nida d'iraisa, the small, afilu tipas dam kechardo, the smallest amount of blood brings about nidus, renders a woman a nida. Okay? Any small amount of dam that comes out of the uterus with a hargosha makes a woman a nida. Okay? What is a hargosha? So, we have over here, number one. Nizdaza, the Shulchan Aruch talks about Nizdaza kol haguf. Her entire body trembles. Okay? And if you look over there, it's not applicable, and I'll tell you something, that is not something that really is a hargosha bizman hazeh. It's not something that's so common. However, the second thing is something that's common, and I'd like to expand upon the second thing. Number two is niftach pi hamakar. If a woman feels the opening, and there are women who can feel this, that the opening that their womb opens, they can feel that opening just as a person when they urinate feels, then the bladder opens. A woman can feel this, and there are women who can feel this, the opening of the pi hamakar. This is not very common, but it is something, it is a feeling, and many women will feel this in the form of cramping, certain cramps that they know they always get when they're going to get when they're getting their period, and that's something that's that cramp brings about dam right away. So that is a hargosha that a woman has to be chayshish that she's going to see dam, and that is a hargosha that will cause nidus to eraisa. Number three is zivas davar lach. This is a major machlekes hapoiskim. The Pesach Tshuva is mayrich in it in Shulchan Aruch. But zivas davar lach means a flow of blood. Not that she feels the flow out of the uterus, out of the rechem, but she's feeling it through the cervix and the vaginal canal. And she's feeling a discharge there. This is the most common hargosha that a person can have. And this is something that most paiskim are very much machmir, that a person, this is considered a hargosha that renders a woman a d'iraisa. And if it doesn't render her a d'iraisa, it certainly could render a suffix to less. Now, what does this require of a person? Now, the first thing it requires is the following. Okay? If a person has such a hargasha, okay, and they see dam, any small amount of dam, okay, they're going to become a nida deraisa. This idea of a shir, of a kesem, which we're going to, of a gris, va'oid, that we're going to discuss, is something that has nothing to do with when the person has a hargasha. Now, when a person has that hargasha and sees dam, okay, they become a nida deraisa. And when a person has this hargasha and doesn't see dam, this requires a person is mechuyev to make a bedikah. Okay? The woman is mechuyev to be baidik herself if she has any one of these hargashas to check to see, to make sure that she has not seen blood. Okay? Now, in B, if a woman has this hargash, she must make a bedikah. If she finds dam, obviously she's a nida deres. If she finds a mara that is not dam, clear, a light color. Now, again, nobody really should paskin on them on their own. Everything should really be brought as a shiloh. One never knows. And by the way, many people make the mistake of not asking a shiloh when it's really good. Many people say, oh, it's taken no good, it wasn't clean. Right? But I'll ask, if many, many times I've heard people say, it's probably no good. And they look at it, it's taken good. People make a mistake. Oh, by the way, I must express the idea that the Gemara says that a major thing, the David HaMelech says, Yadai meluchlocha is bedam, my hands are meluchlich bedam, litaher isha lebailuch. The idea of many, many times to ask a shayla is not to aser, it's to be matir. And many times people wrongly will assume that something has to be absolutely 100% clean and clear, and they're wrong. It's not necessary, and something that the shayla should always be asked. And it's always a good thing to ask a shayla. Many times you'll be surprised with the answer. Now, that's if someone finds something. Let's say someone finds absolutely nothing. They don't find mamish red dam, right? They don't find a clear or something very light, but they find absolutely nothing. This is a difficult issue. Okay, if you look straight in the Shulchan Aruch, if you look straight from the sugyas, if the Gemara's, the assumption is, if this harayf hagosh is with dam, that means anytime she has this feeling and she makes a bedika, so we assume that there's got to be dam or something. So therefore, what do you have to do? You have to find something. If you find dam, so there was dam. If you find a light discharge or something that's not dam, so it's tar. Let's say you find nothing. The assumption of harayf could be that it was lost, meaning that it came out and she couldn't find it. So that would make a suffix needless. So in the dry halacha, such a case is a difficult scenario. However, one should always, as we say over here, if she finds nothing, one should ask a shayla. There are many things, certainly there's manazen, when a woman wears undergarments that are close to her body, that we could assume that if she doesn't find anything, so taken nothing was lost, and this is something that a shayla must be asked. Now, see.
What time frame are we talking about after the
aggression?
How much later should it be seen?
What do you mean?
How much
should the
break of
the
aggression?
We'll discuss. Okay. It means Dan came out. The question is the finding of it. We'll see. Now, we can see that and see. If a woman was involved in an activity that could mask a hargasha, and she sees any amount of blood, she's also rendered a nida. Now, this nida is going to be suffix nida, okay? But again, no shear is going to be required. What are these activities? Now, this is the reason why when a woman makes a bedika, right? Many times she's mechuyev to make a bedika, she had no argosha. But on a bedika cloth, and I can't stress this, as I said to many of you, I'm repeating myself 40 times, but I must tell you, countless times people have said it's so small. It's just a little bit, it's nothing, right? It's a little shear, it's nothing. Right? In fact, I told the story over, I think, 2 years ago, and it's a story, and it's a story that happened again. The halacha is the following. Let's say a woman has zivas dabalach, right? So she has to check for dam. If she feels a flow coming out of her, she feels a discharge. But let's say she finds a kosher discharge, right? A discharge that's mucus, it's just nothing. Right? If she finds that 3 times, she's made a chazaka, that feeling is tahar. In other words, that feeling of Ziva's Dabra Lach, she can create a chazaka that she doesn't have to check anymore. So if she went and she felt this hargasha, obviously not the Ace Nidosa, but she feels such a hargasha in the middle of the time when she's to hurt her. And she checks three times, she's found herself to be what? She's found herself to be tired, so she created a chazaka that she's to hurt her. So this is what the Shaila comes up. Rebbe, my wife had a Ziva's Dabra Lach three times. The first two times she made the Dika, absolutely perfectly clear. It was a clear discharge. The last time, I just want to know if she made a chazaka. The last time, it was mamash clear, except for one little splat of blood. Right? So, is that considered a chazaka that she doesn't see down? Well, obviously, not only does it not create a chazaka, she mamash needed a deraisa. Right? For pashas, it needed a deraisa. That's a very, very important thing. The smallest amount of dam on a bedikah cloth creates a nidah deraisa, okay? Or at least a suffix nidah deraisa, because the bedikah itself can mask the feeling of a hargasha, okay? Now, and certainly after a hargasha, any small amount is. Immediately following going to the bathroom, this shaila is probably the most common shaila that is asked, okay? This is a very important shaila, and I'd like everyone to listen to this, okay? Going to the bathroom is by definition very, very similar to the feeling of a hargasha of niftach pi amakar, and also could be zivas davalach. Okay, it could mask it. Now, if that's the case, let's say a woman sees dam immediately after going to the bathroom. Okay, she has a problem. The problem is that seeing that dam immediately after going to the bathroom is a safek deraisa, because it could be that the urination went and masked the actual hargosha, and she's talking about needed deraisa. In fact, I think I told the story over also. One of my first shailas as a rav was someone who found dam. This is not such a common shaila. Found dam in the bathroom. It was a mamish day. She was going to the mikveh. She was supposed to go to the mikveh. It was mamish right before she was supposed to go to the mikveh. She went to the bathroom. She finds in the toilet bowl. She finds dam. This is a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch. In such a scenario, it's a difficult scenario. In such a scenario, you have a problem because maybe it's an idaraisa. Grada, this is not as chomer. Someone should certainly ask a question. But in such a case, pashtus, most of the paiskim, one would need a shear in such a case for various other reasons. But the more common shaila is the following. A woman wipes herself and she looks at the tissue, first mistake. Okay? She looks at the tissue and she sees something on the tissue. Initial reaction of a woman, probably would be a man if it was Negea, oops, so throw it in the toilet and flush it, right? Second mistake. Okay. First thing is the following. An external wiping, okay, of the area of Isomachim or around that area, okay, does not constitute a bedika. An external wiping, most likely. So in such a scenario, okay, the fact that she wiped herself is not going to mask what? Is not going to mask the hargasha. However, the urination could be masking the hargasha. So then, it could be if she sees the smallest amount of dam, it's a safek deraisa. It's a very, very, very big problem. The halacha is the following. It has to be immediately following going to the bathroom. Now, the common question I'll ask, and I'm sure many of you have asked me this question, the common question that I'll ask is, was she in a rush to go out of the bathroom? Okay? Was your wife in a rush with the children, with somebody at the door? Were the children making noise that she had to run out? Was there no baby? Whatever it is that she had to run out of the bathroom. If it's immediately following the going to the bathroom, that is a problem. It's a very big problem to solve. The rest of Shiloh must be asked. There are certain, but the question must be asked. And the particulars of the situation have to be ascertained.
What immediately?
If she wipes herself immediately after the urination. Okay, don't forget.
The fact is,
there's a sign that it happened immediately. Okay? As opposed to if she delayed. If she finished and then she wiped herself. No, many times a person that's using a rush is going to just finish and wipe themselves very, very, very quickly to go out of the bed. That would make it more of a problem. More of a problem because it's more immediate. It's more immediate than going to the bathroom. If she finds it so close to the bathroom, it's so close to the hargasha. So there's a problem. In other words, if it's a little bit longer time after the hargasha, we can be toila that it's not from the hargasha. That's the point. This answers your question, though. Okay? Now, generally, I'll tell you this is a general rule. Okay? And this is a very big kula. This is something I never said before, but I'll tell you the following. if a woman was not holding the tissue as she was going to the bathroom, she had to reach for the tissue and then go to the bathroom, then we can assume that it's not considered immediate. If she went to the bathroom and then had to reach for the tissue and then wipe herself, so then that would be enough time that's not considered immediate. Okay? However, if she was in such a rush, she's holding the tissue, so that means she wipes herself right after going. Okay. Now, the fact that, I'm going to discuss it in a second. Okay. Now, that's legabe the din of a nida d'oraisa. We're going to get to soon the issue of a kesem. Hopefully, we're going to get to that soon. Okay. Immediately following relations, and I think if I was Kashmish, there is also the same issue. Also the same issue if a person sees dam at that time, and a shiloh must be asked. Now, the second category over here, we're not talking about nidus d'oraisa, we're talking about nidus d'rabbanan. The rabbanan have the following takana. Even if there is no hagosha, and there is no feeling, there is no piyamakar opening, there's no reason to be chayshish that she's seeing dam. However, a stain, a blood stain found on a beged loosely refers to anything that is really mekabel tumo, a sheet, or her body, or an area. That's what I was going to discuss. Is assumed to have come from the woman, and it renders her anida under the following conditions. The blood is found on a white surface, or on her body. Okay? It's found on a, generally, for those that are here, is a white surface. On a colored undergarment, okay, there is not going to be a gzera of kesem. Number two, the blood is found on a dover hamekabel tumah. It has to be something that is a davar mekabel tumah, and I'd like to expand upon this. A davar mekabel tumah is a pair of underwear, is a sheet, is a nightgown, is pajamas, okay? That's a davar mekabel tumah. Now, there is a major halachic issue as to whether paper is a davar mekabel tumah. Because the tshuva is mayrich in this, paper is generally not a keli, however, we do write on paper. So paper maybe could be considered a keli. Okay, this is a major issue. Most paiskim hold that it is not considered a keli. Okay, sanitary napkins are things that are made from reprocessed fibers. Also, by pashtus do not have a din of a davar mekabel tumah. Rav Moshe has a tshuva about nylon. Okay, nylon undergarments which are not natural fibers. Okay, is a big shaila whether this is called davar mekabel tumah. In every one of these cases, one should discuss with the Mayor Hira exactly what occurred. Now, what I'd like to expand upon is the following. So therefore, let's understand something. This is a major shaila. So if a person found an amount of dam, let's say it wasn't immediately after going to the bathroom, but they found an amount of dam on a tissue, okay, that's a large amount of dam that's going to be, which is the next thing, the stain is the size of a gris va'oid. The stain not only has to be on a davar mekabel tumah, not only has to be on a white beged, but it also has to have the size of a gris va'oid. Okay? Okay? Now, the size of a gris va'oid is the area of a U.S. penny. Okay? Basically. The erech, the area, I think it's 19 millimeters. The area of a U.S. penny. Obviously, Lincoln's head does not come out in the exact perfect thing with the year of its minting. It does not come out in a perfect circle. Obviously, the point over here is that it's the cumulative area of the entire stain. Now, if that amount comes out on tissue paper, so then we have the issue not only of what? Of the bedika, of the nida d'oraisa, but we have the issue of a kesem, and then we get involved in this shaila as to whether it's a davar mekabel tumah or not a davar mekabel tumah.
Well, we had a shaila of the first one. It was after she waited.
In the case where she waited, so you don't need a hargosha. This is without a rabbi's side. This kesem is without a hargosha. A woman could be sleeping if she finds a kesem. And it's that size and it fulfills these requirements. It's an absolute nida de rabbanon. Practically, one second, please. Practically, this is not going to make enough gemina, okay, to your daily life practically as to what these as to what it is. Okay, as long as it fulfills these requirements, the procedure is going to have to be the same. I'm sorry, what was it? So if it's on a tissue, there is a major machlokes hapoiskim. You have to ask your mara if the tissue is considered a davar hamakabel tumah or not. If it's considered a davar hamakabel tumah, so you have a problem. Ask the shayla. Okay? Ask the shayla. Okay? Now, I want to expand on one point over here. This is something that that bothers me that's been bothering me it's something that from years back, during Zayinikim, we're not up to the Zayinikim, but during Zayinikim, a woman is supposed to wear a white undergarment. White. Many people have this midah, have this minik, where they'll wear a black pair, and they'll put a sanitary napkin on the inside. Now, many poskim, a sanitary napkin is not a davar mekabel tumah, and this is not what one should be doing. One should be wearing a white undergarment, and not wearing some other colored undergarment and putting inside, because the sanitary napkin is not, according to many poskim, not mekabel tumah. And for the process of Zayin Nikim, one should be using something that is davar mekabel tumah. Okay. Now, what we say over here is the following. In either case, the woman is required to count 7 clean days after a hefsek tayra. Okay? Now, the truth is that this is just one little bit out of order. I'd like Yom to go to the second page, and then before we come to this. The top of the second page are doctor's visits. This is a very, very common question. Okay? Doctors, on a regular internal exam, a general internal exam, there is no reason to assume, okay, that there's any dam. One doesn't have to look. One does not have to ask. Okay, this is no different than going to the bathroom. Okay, however, there is a halacha which is called Ein Psichas Hakever Beli Dam. Ein Psichas Hakever Beli Dam literally means that if the uterus opens, okay, there's got to be blood. Okay. And this is not only when the uterus opens from the inside, but not most places, even if the uterus is open from the outside. So, if there is any exam, okay, that has to actually open up the actual uterus, there's going to be an issue. Now, a routine exam doesn't have that. The exam is called a pap smear, which is something that people should do women should do every 6 months, at least every year. Women should do that. It's an exam that the doctor takes a Q-tip and scratches the back of but takes a sample of what's going on in the cervix. This is a very, very important exam for the health of your wife. This is something that can catch the early stages of cervical cancer, and it's a test that should be taken. There is no reason to assume that this causes any needles whatsoever. However, this could cause blood. Why? Because sometimes the doctor will scratch some part of the cervix. And if the doctor scratches some part of the cervix, many times it's sensitive, it'll bleed. Now, is the doctor believed to say that it was her scratching it and it was not dam nidus? Well, certainly if the doctor is a frum erlich Jew, so edechan and bisurim, they have 100% nemonis. What is frum erlich Jew? It's a frum erlich Jew. Now, there is a major machlokes hapoiskim if we say that even if a person is a fryer, do they have a nemonis? This is something that has to come up in a very specific situation. L'mashal, if you don't see the dam, so that it could be that there's a nemonis of a pesha asa pesha hita. Right? The doctor is the one who said he saw the dam. The doctor is saying that the dam is not really dam nidus. So we can assume that we can believe it. And nobody should pass in these questions on their own. But they should ask the Mara Hara, but ascertain all the facts. It's best if your wife doesn't look and doesn't see anything. There is something that the doctor tries to see the cervix a little better. There's something called a speculum. It opens up the cervix. It does not open up the rechem. And therefore, that should not be a problem at all. If there is any process where the rechem is opened, okay, there is a big schmooze in the poskim as to how much opening. This is very nageya, Mr. Shem, and you women, when your wives go into labor. There's a very big shaila as to when she becomes a nida, something I just didn't realize that we should really cover. When does a woman become a nida when she's in labor? Very important point. Well, if she knows that her mucus plug came out, the mucus plug has dam rechem in it. Okay? Most poskim hold that is going to be a nidus.
Okay? Now, if she never saw it, she doesn't know. Sometimes the mucus plug could come out without a person even knowing that the mucus plug came out. So the halacha is the following. When the rechem is open, when it's dilated, 2 to 4 centimeters, depends on who you ask, okay, depends on who your hero is, but between 2 to 4 centimeters of dilation is a point where it's called the psichas harkever, and that would already be called the time when what? When the woman is by definition a nida, because ain't psichas harkever below idam, okay? So that would be a time when she's definitely a nida. Another time, well, if a woman's water broke, that does not make her into a nida of most paiskim. If it's colored and it's not clear, that already is a questionable issue. And by the way, if it's colored, that's a very, very big, it could be a very big problem for the health of the baby, because sometimes it's colored not because of blood, but because of meconium, and the child is in, and someone should, if a woman's water broken and it's colored, that she'd go straight to the doctor, straight to the hospital. If a woman is in labor and she cannot walk on her own, she has not seen any blood, she's in labor and she cannot walk on her own, she is a nida. Okay? In the Shiur on Harchakas next week, we will discuss what one can do in such a situation, regarding the Harchakas, what one is allowed to do to help his wife in such a situation, that we will discuss next week. Okay. Now, it's 9:35. I'm sorry, I think we should stop. Mir Tzashem, keep these papers, because we're going to start with the process of Zayin Akim. We will, Mir Tzashem, next week, hopefully we'll have the food on time. Next week we will start with the process of Taira and with the Harchakas. Yes, you can't tell everybody. 5:20. 5:20.